It's Bill Leff along with Harry Tynowitz sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Steve Bertrand is here. We're at Cork and Kerry right across from Guaranteed Rate Field. And on the line with us, the great Ed Farmer. Ed, how are you?
I'm well. I'm a little cool, but, you know, opening day warms everybody up, I think. Just listening to the group you got over there at the Cork and Kerry.
A lot of people, very loud people, having a good time, just what you'd hope for. Ed, what about the decision to move opening day from yesterday to today? A good decision all in all?
Please. Yesterday was going genius move. Yeah, when the sun never came out, it rained all day. Temperature really never got out of basically the high 30s, or didn't feel that way. And everybody got not to have the flu on a day where you could have got it yesterday, I'm sure.
Right.
Farmio, there's something right about hearing your voice this time of year, and there's also something right about Johan Moncada's approach at the plate. He is crushing balls out of ballparks. Why the change in the White Sox young third baseman?
Well, he's only hitting 450 with a couple of homers and six runs batted in, but give him time, he'll hit better. No, to be honest with you, he's starting to know the league a little bit also. The tendencies are there. He's finally made the transition of being just a guy that goes home plate and looks for the baseball, for a guy who's looking for the baseball in a certain area on a certain pitch. And when he gets to the pitch, rarely has he missed it so far this year. I mean, the ball that he hit the other day in Cleveland for the home run, I thought it was going to the second level, which is a long way from home plate.
I know we're just five games in, Ed, but what have you seen from the White Sox so far that shows the promise that they'll carry throughout the season?
Well, you've got a closer, and then you have a setup man, Gavin Herrera, setting up Alex Colomay, so you've got that part of it done. You're looking for guys to go from the long relief to the middle to a guy who's actually a bridge to get to the eighth inning. That's what you're looking for, and you're going to run those guys out there until you find them. And you got to find that out. I'd like us to catch the ball a lot better than what we've done so far.
Yeah, and Lucas Giolito was spectacular in
terrific.
His first outing in Kansas City. That was like the old Giolito we saw the second half of the 17 season. Was that a Bugs Bunny curveball he was throwing?
He had the one that any rabbit would be happy with, I could tell you that, because straight down on the strike zone, and he was changing speeds on it, shortened his arm swing, the White Sox did, with Don Cooper and the pitching staff there, shortened his arm swing, did not throw a wild pitch in the game. Well, last year he had a lot of wild pitches and was all over the road, but now not the case. He was that good the other day in Cleveland, and so was Rodon in the finale, because he gave up two hits to Carlos in that first inning and an unearned run, and that was all they got off him. I think at one time he had retired, and I don't have it in front of me, but 13 or 14 batters in a row, and Giolito is on one of those strings also.
Let's talk about that final game in Cleveland the other day, Ed. Corey Kluber is one of the premier pitchers in baseball, and the White Sox just had his number from the very beginning, didn't they?
They didn't wait. Bill, you're absolutely right. They did not wait for him to do it. They didn't say, hey, look, get established. They jumped on everything, and he questioned his stuff, and you can't blame him for that. When we were on that bus with Darren and myself, and Carlos was taking that bus late because he was starting the game, I told Carlos when we got off the bus, you don't have to be the best pitcher in baseball today. You just have to be the best pitcher here at Progressive Field today. That's all you have to be. You can beat Corey Kluber. And boy, did he beat him.
He did.
So the White Sox, I mean, he threw strikes and we hit him. That's what they did.
You need to go tell that to Ronaldo Lopez, because he was not great in Kansas City. And you know, all the Sox fans have faith in him. You know, everybody loves Ronaldo. What do we need to see from him today?
Just see him calm down and you know, basically turn the game to his pace. That's what I'd like to say. Moncada has done that. He didn't do it last year. But the pace of the game revolves around that individual who's either pitching or is in the batter's box. And if they call the timeout, they're telling you, look, he's moving a little too quick for me. I'm going to play this game at my pace rather than his, and I'll step out on him, or I'll wait for the batter to put the bat down, then I'll be ready to go again.
Ed, the White Sox announced a few seasons ago that they were going into a full-blown rebuild mode. Would you say they're about on schedule in that rebuild mode or ahead of schedule?
I don't know if they're on schedule. I don't know if there's a schedule for that. That's a tough question, but I'll say this. The parts and pieces of this puzzle that we call, doing something differently because of the guys we traded, those pieces are somewhere in the organization. Mm-hmm. We've got Dylan Cease down there also, and he's one of the top pitchers in the minor leagues in all of baseball. But the White Sox are waiting for him to get developed to a point where they don't have to send him back if he runs into a bump in the road. These are good things. And we're patient enough, and Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are patient enough, and you really have to salute them for this, not to have that knee-jerk reaction of saying, okay, he's done now. He's got to go back to the minor league. No, no, it's like Eloy Jimenez in left field. He's going to be out there for as long as we want him to be out there, and he's going to have on-the-job training here at the big league level. And there's going to be some painful at-bats and some painful games that he's going to go through. But we also have justified him being up here by the amount of money we spent on him, because he was a top prospect in our organization.
Sure. Yep.
You know, Farmio, you're right. Rick Hahn has built such a beautiful foundation there in the minors. Luis Robert had two homers yesterday.
Yes,
Zach Collins, catcher of the future, also had a couple of massive homers. But it begins with Eloy Jimenez, who broke the record for the most money ever given to a guy that had never stepped up to the MLB plate before. I think that's the trend now. It's going to follow. But everybody thought Rick Hahn was going to wait and get an extra year of control. What triggered this move? Why would Rick give him this huge extension right away instead of trying to get that extra year?
I think there's twofold there, Harry, and I don't know because I don't talk to him about these business procedures, but you give the kid that kind of money, you tell him we're pinning our hopes on you. You're our best talent in the minor leagues. We're going to have you learn how to play the game of baseball at the major league level rather than put you in the minor leagues and be awestruck when you get here. We're going to make comfortability part of it. But we're also going to be mindful of, if you're not doing it, we can always send you down. But we also have him with a controlled contract as well. And for me, most valuable guy that I see with the team is Abreu, because they come
really
here. Yeah, if you go down the locker room, you're going to see Jimenez and Moncada's lockers not far away. And I haven't been down there to see this, but they're not going astray far from where Abreu is, because he'll tell them the right way to do things. Mm-hmm. And he's a valuable resource and a great player.
Yep, no question. Ed, we were talking about the magic that is a home opener for baseball players. You've pitched in a lot of them. You've been through a lot of them. What is that like as a player when you're going out for the first time in a season for your home team?
For me, for my home team, I was lucky enough to play here for the White Sox. And in 1980, I made the All-Star team. And I started here at Comiskey Park with two saves out of three, I believe it was, the opening series against the Baltimore Orioles. And Earl Weaver was the manager of that All-Star team. Mm-hmm. And he told me a couple years before that I couldn't pitch for him in Baltimore. Hmm. And then he had to sign me because I was leading, or bring me in as an All-Star, because I was leading baseball with 17 saves, and I was 6-1 when I went to the game. So I actually made him take me rather than just gift it to me. But that was for the guys that had rehabbed me from rotator cuff surgery. But growing up here as a White Sox fan, couldn't have been happier to do that. And I came back after the game, was in the clubhouse the next morning to get the questions and answers from my teammates out of the way, and also not to block Tony La Russa from doing a job. Because I think we had two seasons that year, a season where you could win the first half and the second half, and we wanted to do that.
Yep.
Fermio, my favorite White Sox opening day memory takes place in Boston, a little stadium they call Fenway Park, I believe.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, Pudge Fisk's first game with the White Sox, and the Sox are in trouble in the ninth inning. I believe you entered in the ninth inning. Take us back to that day.
I relieved Lamar Hoyt that day, and if I'm not wrong, I think that the bases were loaded. And I came in, and Carlton came out to the mound. We had not caught, he had not caught me, and I had not thrown to him, because he was usually going in the fifth or sixth inning in Sarasota. And I said, they're going to pinch hit Joe Rudy. And he goes, what do you want to do? I said, I want to start him out with a fastball right down the middle. Then I want to throw him a curveball outside and not in the dirt, although I did throw in the dirt, but he blocked it. And I said, then go back in with a fastball. And he goes, and then what? I said, then he's going to make an out. He's just going to hit a fly ball to center field or something like that, because that's what he does off me. He goes, okay. So I look in for the sign. He gives me fastball, strike. Gives me curveball. It's in the dirt. Blocks it. Throws the ball back to me. He gives me curveball. I say, no. gives me slider. I go, no, he gives me slider, and I go for the mound. I don't have a slider. And call for the fastball outside corner, and I ran it up and in. He had a fly ball to right, and the game was over. And
nice.
And I walked back to the Sheraton at Copley Square, and we talked about what I was doing with my fastball and my curveball.
Honesty pays off, yeah. Ed. It always
absolutely
does. Tell us this. The White Sox are squaring off today against the Seattle Mariners. I think they're 7-1.
They are
7-1. What's going on with them? How are they
that
great?
You look at their stolen bases, you don't have to look a lot further than that. They're hitting, and they're stealing bases. Do they have some pluses and some minuses? Every team does. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out what it is and play White Sox baseball and catch the ball better than what we caught it the first five games, I can tell you that, because at times we have not caught the ball well. Not yet.
Fermio, please complete the sentence. 2019 will be a great year for the White Sox as long as...
As long as everybody stays the course and doesn't get caught up in what's going on negatively, but the positives will outweigh that.
Makes sense. It really makes sense. Ed, we're looking forward to today's game and a full season of fun times here on the South Side.
Bill, I'll see you and Harry over here in about 30 minutes. I've got food for you. Let's
oh,
go.
Excellent.
I was wondering about the donuts.
Yes,
yeah, they're
Steve
here.
Bertrand wants
they're
to
here.
Our donuts.
They're
here
from Kirsten's Bakery.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
There's more food in Fermio and DJ's broadcast booth than there is in both clubhouses combined.
Do you want me to tell those people no, they can't bring it?
No.
Don't say that.
I just wanted to know. I just had to have a question. That's all.
Ed, have a great
Manly's
call
already
today.
Been
we
over here, so
hear.
Don't worry about it. I'll see you guys over here.
All right, have a terrific
Go Sox,
day.
Opening day.
Absolutely. The great Ed Farmer, everybody. The great Ed Farmer.